Like to open your Bibles there with us and follow along. The fifth chapter, very familiar passage of Scripture, and such a blessing to be able to say we have a book that we can open to find encouragement, to find words of exhortation, and just words that reminds us how good God has been to us along this journey of life. And I appreciate the Lord with all my heart. I wouldn't want to fathom where I'd be if I didn't have the Lord as my Savior today. And I want you to follow along real close with us on this Sunday morning. Fifth chapter of the book of John, starting at verse 1, reading down through and including verse 9. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And stop reading there in verse 9. This morning I'd like to bring you a message entitled, The Lord Can Fix Your Situation. The Lord can fix your situation. I believe that there are many situations that we face today to some degree or that no other generation has faced before us. There are some things that are common that generation after generation we all face, but there are some today that people are going through that is unlike any other time in mankind's history. When we look at the things that are common, situations that really get people down and out, we look at things like trust that has been broken, things like marriages that are in trouble, and people that have physical situations that's going on in their life, like some of you that was made mention of just a few moments ago. Some that are even facing mental issues that where the devil comes and wars against our mind. You know, sometimes if he can't be like Job and afflict us physically, he'll go to our mind. And I believe that sometimes is worse than physical sickness. Also, the spiritual situations that people are in. I believe that we are in an all-time low for people spiritually. People don't realize that the situation only gets worse the more you stay away from God, the more you stay away from church, and you rely on other things instead of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing that can help my situations like God can. God can take care of them if only we will allow Him to do so and do our part. These young people in middle age and even the old alike, with peer pressure, the situations that they put our young people into and our middle-aged people and even some of our older people. And then some of the things that no other generation has faced before us is like when the law says it's okay, But God's word says it's not. See, our forefathers, they went by God's word. And our laws matched up with God's word. In latter years, we're at a place where God's law says one thing and man has changed the law of the land to make about everything legal that God says is wrong. Thank God there are some states that are trying to correct some of these. But like no other generation before us, Satan is warring like he's never warred before. And he's putting our folks, you and I and our loved ones, into situations that is going to be harmful and even destroy lives if we're not careful. Only God can fix these situations in our lives. I know people say that there are programs that can help our people that are in select situations, and there are support groups for just about any type of thing that you would name. But none of those can do what God can. And I'm not preaching against those programs. If they are biblically based, I say we ought to use them. But first of all, get a hold of God. Because without God, you can have a lot of good words said, but it won't accomplish much in your life or the situation that you are in. I want us to notice that when this man was lying there, that he was at a place in his life that no doubt he thought, no one cares about my situation. No one will help me, is one of the things that he cried out. We may have folks here this morning that you think that nobody cares about your situation. Your situation could be any of those that I've forementioned, or I think the greatest situation many of our people are in is that they recognize that there is a God and there is a Savior. There is a heaven and a hell, but they've never done anything to change the situation. They are still lost and undone. This man was there, and no doubt every year for he had the situation in his life for 38 years. Now, I don't know that he was at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, but he'd been there a long time. He had seen many other folks get their situations changed, and his stayed the same. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? That you see others that seem like that no matter what they do, they prosper. And you try your best to live the way God wants you to, and it seems like your situation only gets worse. I want to preach to you this morning, hang on. God is still in control. He's still on the throne. And he still hears the cries of his children and those that want to change their situation. I don't think that it's just by circumstance that he was there at Bethesda. The place, the pool that had the five porches where all those that had the infirmities and sicknesses, they was under the arches or under the porch, if you'll have it, to protect them from the elements. But I want to let you know what Bethesda really means. Bethesda means the house of mercy. How many of us on a Sunday morning will say, Lord, I'm thankful that many of my situations in life has been resolved at the house of mercy. We're here today, and God, it's not stirring the literal pool, but I believe he's stirring the spiritual pool in our midst this morning. The water is troubled that your situation can be taken care of if you'll trust the Lord. See, the Lord knows all about your situation without you even telling him about it. Is that not what the scripture said about this man? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked by there, he knew exactly what was wrong with that man that had been sitting there all those years. You may well think that you've got it hidden. Nobody knows about my situation. Or you may say to yourself, nobody knows what I'm going through. You may even be as bold as say, nobody knows what I have done. Or have a pity party for yourself. And we've all had those, amen? That nobody has been through this before. But you see, the Lord knew this man's complete situation. God knows your situation today. You may have it well masked. And everybody thinks everything is good in your life. I preached here many years ago, and I said in that message that sometimes we get up on Sunday morning, we put on our best face, we come into church with our best smiles, and all along our situation is eating us up on the inside. We come in and we try to smile and make it seem like everything is good. But I ask you this morning, how many of us will be bold enough to say, Lord, I'm thankful I'm at the house of mercy because I've got a situation that needs some help on this Sunday morning. How many of us will say, yes, I may not be physically impaired, but I am spiritually impaired. Or I have a mental impairment. Not saying that by that. What I mean is that the devil is in your mind. Does he tell anybody else nobody likes you? You say, I thought y'all outgrew that when you was teenagers. I think it stays with us all of our life. That nobody cares to be around you. All you want to talk about is God. Amen. That creates a situation because people don't want to be around a God-loving and Jesus Christ-loving and Holy Ghost-loving, born-again child of God because we make them uncomfortable. I'm glad we make them uncomfortable, aren't you? The Lord asked him in verse 6, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? If I could paraphrase that this morning, the Lord asked him, do you want your situation fixed? Some of you that said that you had situations in your life, I ask you today, wouldn't you like to leave here on a Sunday morning knowing your situation is fixed with God? You say, but it is something that you just don't understand. I may not understand it. Your person sitting right next to you may not understand it. But God knows all about it. And there's nothing that you are going through or will ever go through that God cannot take care of because he's done it time and time again for many of us throughout the years. See, I have a God today that not just saved me, but he's healed me many times. Some physically, some spiritually, and some even mentally that's come along in our life. He said, do you want your situation fixed? He didn't care that the man had had that situation in his life for 38 years. God's not asking you how long you've had this. He's saying, do you want it fixed? Or do you want to stay right there by the pool for the rest of your life? See, I mean, God can really fix it. not just partially fix it, but God can completely fix the situation in your life that's got you all down and out. I believe that there are folks with us this morning that lay on the bed at night or in the early morning, and you're concerned about your situation. But maybe the devil's told you that there's nothing that can be done about it. Let me remind you, the devil is a liar. How many of y'all believe today that God can do anything? No matter how big it might be or how small, if God can't fix it, it can't be fixed. But God can fix everything that is wrong. God said, do you really want this fixed? Jesus said that to that man that was sitting there at the pool. I believe he's saying to us today, do you really want it fixed, or do you just want to put a Band-Aid on it? Many of us like Band-Aids rather than getting the situation fixed so it will be healed permanently in our lives. But just like this man, we offer excuses why our situation cannot be fixed. How many of you got a book full of excuses? I pause there. Because we like to blame everybody else for what we're going through. We like to say it's not my fault, but it's what those kids did to me. You know, and I'll use an example. And not to embarrass Reese, but Reese and Zoe was moving awful slow this morning. And how many of you, when it's time to go out the door, and the kids aren't ready or your spouse ain't ready, you start getting antsy and anxiety sets in, and it's like, I gotta go. And if you're not careful, you'll get all flustered by it. And the devil will come in and rob you of your spiritual blessing. I don't want anything to interrupt my relationship with God and my spirituality, if you'll have it today, because we all have a spirituality. Some of you may be high on the spiritual chart, and some may be low on the spiritual chart. I'd like to tell you that there comes a point that you can stay straight up in the middle. But I believe we all fluctuate from one side to the other. The devil will give you all kinds of reasons why your situation can't be fixed. And this man even offered them up to Jesus. He said, I'd like to be made whole, but every time the water is troubled, somebody gets in before me. I believe I said it on Wednesday night. God bless his little heart. We want to offer up excuses for everything. I'd like to get right with God, but I can't because of my friends. I can't because of the things that I think are socially acceptable. I can't get right because if I do, I'll lose every friend I've got. And I'll not be accepted at the workplace or in the schoolhouse. I'll not be accepted in the neighborhood. If I get right, that means I've got to get rid of some things in my life. But let me preach to you this morning. You will not get rid of anything that God won't replace with something better. And I know I'm in a Baptist church, and hold on to your pew. People say, I'd like to get saved, but I'd have to give up drinking. I say, no, you don't. Hold on. You just have to change fountains from which you drink from. And you'll find that this new fountain gives you something that'll take away the thirst that the old fountain provided. We like to put the blame on others for our conditions that we're in. It's because of mom and dad. It's because of my spouse. It's because of my neighbors or my family. No one is responsible for you except for you. You're the one that can choose to accept your condition or, with the help of God, change it for all eternity. Aren't you tired of people blaming everybody else for what they're going through? Even our president, I believe he calls them snowflakes, because they want to blame everybody for everything. It's time that we man up and woman up that nobody is responsible for my situation except for me. It's not the government's responsibility, it's not the schoolhouse's responsibility, and it's not your employer's responsibility. It's our responsibility. You say, Roger, you was taught too old-fashioned. Where I was taught and where I come from, you either worked or you didn't eat. Amen? And that just wasn't out in the field. That was in the house of God. You know, sometimes we have people show up and they say, I'm here now, Lord, bless me. And God is saying, what have you done for me? And what about all those situations in your life that need to be remedied and got taken care of once and for all? I believe God is looking at our churches today and saying he's tired of the bunch of hogs that we are, that we come to church and then we walk out and we go right back to the same mud hole. Somebody say, Roger, this is Sunday morning. It's Sunday morning, yes, but how many of you know people that have situations in their life that just goes on from year to year to year, and it's like they have no desire to change it whatsoever? And they want to complain about it. If you don't like it, you ought to do something about it. You say, how can I get it fixed? Only with the help of God. I've seen people that were, and know of people, that were full-blown alcoholics. And they got tired of their situation, and God at the house of mercy knocked upon their heart's door, and they stepped out, and you know what they did? They threw away the bottle. They got rid of it, Steve, because they don't need it no more. You know what the bottle and drugs are? They're a crutch to help people through troubled times. And people look at us and say, well, what do you do when trouble comes? I've got more than a crutch. I've got a help meet. In the church and my Lord that brings us through each and every one of them a long time. We offer up so many excuses, and even at times we've accepted our situation and become complacent with it. I know people, you know, they say that you are a product of your environment. I know people that were raised dirt poor, and they got out and worked their fingers to the bone and made something of themselves. Others will say you're a product of your environment, that whatever your mom and dad does or whatever was accepted with them, that's what you'll do. And I've used that example, that if mom and dad drinks, the kids are more apt to drink. If mom and dad smokes, the kids are more apt to smoke. If mom and dad is hooked on drugs, the kids are more apt to be hooked on drugs. It becomes a generational curse. And even in our country today, if mom and dad was raised and lived on welfare, more than likely the kids are going to follow suit because they see that they don't have to work. That's just extra. Didn't cost anything. We've accepted our situation and that it will never change. It will never change as long as you sit there and don't do anything about it. When God speaks to you, your situation can be changed. Not just for a week or for a month or for a year, How many of you have been saved for over 40 years? Raise your hands. How many of you have been saved for over 50 years? Raise your hands. Anybody been saved over 60 years? I'm going farther. Anybody been saved over 70 years? We got some 60 years in the midst. What God does and saves and heals, He is able to keep by His hand. I am not able to keep myself. You say, Roger, you're a preacher. You don't understand all the situations that we're faced with. I may be a preacher, but I like what Connie's mom told her many years ago. Connie and Ernie were dating, and they was in a revival down in the hills of Owsley County or Clay County. In fact, it was just right up from Sister Sarah's house. And Connie wanted to ride home with Ernie. And her mom told her, no, you're not riding with him. And she said, but Mom, he's a preacher. She said, but he's also a man. There's a lot of truth to that, isn't there? A lot of truth. So even though I may be a preacher, I am flesh and blood just like you. And the same things that the devil offers to you, he brings them by my way. One of the hardest words there is to learn is no. One of the hardest things there is to do is to walk away. But you see, if you don't say no and you don't walk away, you're going to put another situation in your life that you're going to have to face. The Bible also says, and I thank the Lord for this insight, in verse 8, God says it like this. After God told him that your situation is fixed, right? He said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. After God takes care of our situation, we've got some cleaning up to do. You won't hear this much in a Baptist church anymore. He said, rise up and take up your bed. In other words, clean up your life. Get things picked up and put in order. Because you won't need this pool anymore. Oh, hallelujah. You won't need this pool anymore, so you need to clean up and get ready for your journey. See, when God fixes our situations in our life, there are things that we have to put away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I came a man, I put away childish things. Can I tell you one of my pet peeves this morning? And I don't know if we have anybody here that does it, but grown men that say that they don't have time. Listen, they don't have time to spend with family. They don't have time to cut the grass. They don't have time to take care of the house. But they got time to play these games. You know what I did when I got married? I got a job. This is hitting on all cylinders today, Steve. And I haven't quit working since then. Becky and the kids will tell you, I don't have time for games. My brother-in-law, a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago now, I was down there and I was working. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I got a couple things I need to take care of. And he said, is that all you do is work? He said, what do you do to relax? I said, work. It's a different type, but it's relaxing. And about me and Cecil is the only one that'll say amen to that. But there are things that you got to put away, and there, after God fixes our situations, we've got to get away from the environment. It may even mean that you got to get new friends. It may mean that there are places that you can't go anymore. Because if you stay in that same environment around those same people, it's only going to drag you back down to that same level. There are people that I can't be around. Let me rephrase that. There are people I choose not to be around. Other than to say, hi, and how are you doing? And some of them are even my own family. Because we have different standards. What they say is okay, I say no. And you know, I'm not going to argue with people. But if God says it's wrong for one of his children, it's wrong for all of his children. How many of you parents have got different rules for each of your children? The same rules apply unilaterally across all of them. And God looks at us today and he says, if it's wrong for you, then it's wrong for everybody. I mean, how many of you like to hear things about the preacher and pastor that is wrong? You know, a lot of people look at that and say, boy, he fell. We've got a lot of church members that's fell. And they're stuck in these situations. And only God can get you out of it. God told him, pick up your bed and get out of here. You don't need to be at this pool anymore because you've already been healed. I believe what he was telling him, Ray, is that you need to go and tell others what happened to you. See, this man didn't even recognize Jesus. We don't even know if he knew Jesus, who he was. But I believe every one of us can say there was a time that I didn't know who he was. But thank God I had an introduction through the sweet Holy Spirit that said, I can fix your situation if you'll trust me. And then in verse 9, I want you to notice, when the Lord said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. The next verse, the second word says, and immediately. God doesn't give you a prolonged program in order to get your situation fixed. He'll fix it immediately when you follow his commands and are willing to put aside all of your excuses and just follow God and his instructions. Today, we are at the house of mercy. How many of you know that this is the mercy seat? Just like in the tabernacle, they had a mercy seat. This is a place where many moms and dads and young men and women have brought their situations to God. If these carpets could show all the tear stains that's been shed around here, some for themselves, me included. Some for their children, me included. Some for their grandchildren, me included. Some for a situation in a brother or sister's life that needed help, me included. We've shed many a tears around these mercy seats. Because we know that the situation can only be cured or taken care of by God speaking his words upon that situation and you and I doing what God has told us to do. God does not give you temporary fixes. God gives you a permanent fix. God is offering you today the opportunity to get your situations or situation fixed in your life. Some of us have asked God, why hasn't this one been saved? Anybody else ever ask God that? Why hasn't this one been able to kick that habit? Why hasn't this one become more dedicated? Why is there so many people going through so many situations that's just loading them up and even about to break them with what they're going through? And you say, why does God allow this to happen to me? We had that question this morning. Why did God allow Job to go through what he went through? Sometimes the situations we're in, it's not a product of our own doing. Oh, let me expound upon that. How many of us are put into situations by somebody else's doings? If you've got kids, you better say amen. Right? If you listen to the peer pressure, you know what I'm talking about. I told them here, was it last weekend or Wednesday night? My boss asked me to go to the ball game on Wednesday night. He had tickets. He said, I'd like for you to go with me. And I said, it's Wednesday night. This was on Monday or Tuesday. I said, it's on Wednesday night. He said, yeah. I said, I can't go. And I told the church on Wednesday night, see, that could have been very easily, that could have been a situation where I said yes. And rightfully so, I could have said yes. But I believe it would have caused, I would have sat there and it would have ate me up that I was at a ball game instead of at church. And I'll put it to you bluntly this morning. How many of you would have liked it if I would have called Ron or Terry and said, I won't be there tonight, I'm going to the ball game? Anybody in house would have liked that? To hear that? No, right? In fact, Ron and Terry may have said, Roger, we need to talk to you about your priorities. You know, our priorities causes a lot of our situations. You know, what I heard preached all my life, and I believe it today as strongly as I ever did, God first, family second, and then the job. Right? God first includes the church. Right? And we got a lot of people that are allowing situations to come in their life that is taking them away from church. This morning, and I'm going to close. But Becky and I never missed a church service so the kids could play ball or cheerlead. You know what we did? Because they always had their games on Sunday. We told them they can play, but they may be late. If the preacher is long-winded like yours today, we'll be late, but we'll be there. You say, Roger, that was a different era of time. Time changes, but God don't. God don't. While Rob and Sharon get us a song this morning, I'd like to ask you a simple question. Do you want to get your situation fixed? Or are you going to sit there? Can y'all imagine this guy sitting there for 38 years? I'm sure he had pity party after pity party. Year after year. Somebody else got cured, and here I sit. Because he must have had a problem with his legs. Right? I believe we can agree on that. But if I would have known that year after year the water was going to be troubled, I believe I'd been sitting in the water. They're going to have to pull me out of here. Because I want to be healed. Do you want to be saved by God's amazing grace? Or are you going to allow the devil just to offer you excuse after excuse of why you should stay where you're at? Are you going to have those things in your life that you know is ungodly purged? Or are you just going to live a double life? Because that's where a lot of people are at today. They're trying to please the church on Sunday and then please their friends and everybody else. Maybe even their desires. You know, a lot of people got their desires in the wrong place. And you say, how do you take and ward all this off? You have to be strong. Church, can I get a witness? You have to be strong. When they offer or do something that you know is against God's word, you have to say, Lord, help me, and walk away. You say, but they won't like me no more. So what? How many of you are at a point in your life that if they like you, they like you. If they don't, they don't. I'm not going to change my relationship with God to please somebody else. If they can't be my friend, walk away. In fact, I told Steve this morning after Lloyd's teaching, him and Ray was talking about Job's friends, and I said, those weren't friends. I know the Bible calls them his friends, but you know, there are some people that's in your life just to drag you down. Cut them out. You say, but they're my family. Cut them out. I didn't say you had to ignore them. You can still say hi and be sociable, but there are people that we have to stay away from. You say, why do you stay away from it? Did you know the crowd you run with is the one that you're known by? So I try to distance myself from people that are not living by this word. I may work with them. I may live next to them. I'll share this. A few years ago, we got a new neighbor, and he came over, and he was so excited. And I was on my way to perform a wedding. And I was in the driveway. I was pulling out. He came over running, and I had to pause for just a minute, say hi to him. And I said, buddy, I'm in a hurry. I got a wedding to go to. I hate to cut it short. He said, well, maybe sometime we can get together for a beer. I said, I don't think so. I don't drink. You see, that's the way the world looks at it. And it's even increasing today with all the things that's being legalized and made to appear good. Let me tell you, the Bible says that we ought to shun even the appearance of evil. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. And I want to say it like this. Even be careful, little mouths, what you say. Because not every word that is used today in the vocabulary is a curse word, but there are some of them that we ought to eliminate from our vocabulary. Amen? You wouldn't want a preacher with a potty mouth. Preacher don't want members with a potty mouth. You ought not be afraid to say anything in front of me or your friends that you wouldn't say in front of me. In fact, we ought not to be afraid to say anything that we wouldn't say before God. In fact, everything we say before God. In fact, everything we think before God. And God's looking at us and saying, that's one of my children. And look how they're acting. Today, would you like for that situation in your life to be fixed? Fixed, sealed up, and taken care of. Did I ask you while they sing us a song, would you stand and ponder in your own heart? You know you can't fix it. Too many years have gone by and it's still the same. Why don't you come let God fix it today? Let God fix that situation in your life. Let God take care of it. Let Him come in and make you a new creature. Because it's not getting better. You're prolonging something that if you keep doing it, it's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you for all eternity. Only the Lord can do it. While they pause for just one moment, and I'll be quick. But you see, I believe that there's a lot of people that go to church that don't know Jesus Christ and a free pardon of sin. You say, but I've been baptized. I'm a member of the church. That's not my question or my statement. My statement is that a lot of people went to the altar for the wrong reason and didn't get what God is offering. God is not offering you temporary relief and peace of mind. God is offering you eternal relief. You can change a lot of things in your life. How many of you have ever said you're going to change something in your life? Only to find yourself slipping right back into it. I told the church here about almost 2 months ago, that because of my triglycerides, I'm trying my best to give up ice cream. Yeah. And I want to brag for a moment. I've been 6 or 7 weeks now, and I've stayed away from ice cream other than licking the spoon when I dug it for the grandkids. Licking the spoon. Okay? Actually, it's a fork, because I dig my ice cream with a fork. But you know what? It takes a lot of willpower, because I love ice cream. Rob told me a couple weeks ago, he said, when you die, I'm going to put a half gallon of ice cream in your coffin. I said, if you do, put a spoon in there. But how many of you like me, it takes a lot of willpower to do something you know you need to do. And every time I walk past that freezer, it's like it's calling my name. And I give you that illustration because there's times the devil calls my name and offers me things that I need to stay away from. Today, while we sing one last verse, I ask you, have you really searched your heart this morning? Don't put it off another moment, but come and let God take care of that thing in your life that you need to have removed. Sing on. Sing on today. Have you followed your heart? Truly followed your heart. Only God can fix it. Amen and amen. I appreciate your prayers this morning. Hope you got something out of the message that will help you going forward. And to all of you that don't know Jesus Christ, let me give you a sense of urgency. Because he could come today. He could come tomorrow. Or this afternoon, you may get word that I've been called into eternity. But don't you worry about me. Because I'm all right with God. I want to stay as long as I can. But if he calls, I'm ready, Wayne. I'm ready. Can you say that today? If you can't, I pray you'll find somewhere to make you an altar and call upon the name of Jesus Christ and ask God into your life. Have a good afternoon. Get you a good meal. Get you a nap if you need it. And come back tonight looking forward to another blessing from the Lord. Steve, when y'all leaving out? Y'all be careful in your journey. And come back and see us real soon. And tell Mom and Dad we said hi, and the girls, and Stephen. All right? God bless you today.